And welcome. This is Annalisa Lukes, Chair of the Orange County Workforce Development Board Business Services Committee. Today is August 2nd, and let's go ahead and start with Pledge of Allegiance. All right, let's go ahead and put our go ahead and take roll call.
Gloria Alvarado. Jesse Benron.
Here.
Kathy Boyd.
Here.
Mike Daniel.
Here.
Lori Holland-Lays.
Here.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Here.
Annalisa Lukes.
Here.
Ernesto Medrano. Carlos Oregon.
Here.
And Todd Sword. We do have quorum, Chair.
We have any public comments at this time?
We did not receive any requests to speak in advance. If there are members of the public this morning that would like to address the committee, please use the hand raise icon or press star 9 and I will unmute you. Seeing none, Chair.
Okay, thank you so much. Let's go ahead and move on to item 5 of the agenda. We have two items, business surveys. First is the Job Fairs Quarter 4 report. And then CalJobs Survey Quarter 4 report. I'll turn it over to Karma and team.
Good morning. This morning, I'm going to turn it over to Rhonda Miller to give us a report out on the job fairs. We don't have any action items today, so this meeting will be essentially a review of our performance for quarter 4. And so with that said, can we promote Rhonda?
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. I have everything consolidated, so we can just go right through. Desiree, it's off a little bit. Is there a way to get it centered so that... There we go. Then I can see the content. Perfect. Thank you so much. Let's start with job fairs. So we had a face-to-face job fair. In conjunction with District 2, so Supervisor Katrina Foley, as well as our sister workforce board in the county, Santa Ana Work Center, and the city of Santa Ana, took place on April 21st, as I mentioned, face-to-face event at the Discovery Cube Museum in Santa Ana. The number of businesses participating were 104, and we had a tremendous response from job seekers, 247 attended. So just to give you a snapshot, my historical analysis that we provide, you can see that uptick there with the 104 businesses and the 247 job seekers. So it's getting mighty close to back in the days when people were responding a little bit before the Great Resignation and before the Great Realignment, whatever we're calling it these days. So we were pretty pleased with the number of job seekers that turned out for these 104 businesses. This is a snapshot of businesses that participated by industry. So something that we really like to do is provide the job seekers with variety, and that's exactly what we did. So you can see that quite a number of businesses do want to point out our main industry sectors that we focus on. So that's in the little call out box there at the bottom. We had 9 manufacturing companies, 6 healthcare companies, no IT companies at this event, but we did have 7 hospitality and travel industry companies. So that was good. And in case you're wondering, here's the list of the businesses in attendance. So that's, they were everything from, you know, police departments. We had our county there, of course, Customs and Border Protection, to hotels like the Surf and Sand Resort. So that's just a snapshot, bit of a, an eye chart there. Sorry about that, of the businesses that attended. And then here's the results of the survey. So these are the business survey results. We had 70 organizations respond, which is great. We always like to get that feedback. So we asked them overall, how would you rate the career fair? And 47 of those 70 businesses said it was excellent. We got very good, and three people thought it was good. How organized was the event? Extremely organized, 54 said, which is fantastic. And then very organized. These are responses I like to see. How helpful was the staff in assisting you with preparing for the event and providing you support during the event? Extremely helpful, 57 said. Very helpful. And one person thought it was just somewhat helpful, our staff. And just so you know, we do utilize the entire staff the day of the event. We block it off on our calendars. People have assigned responsibilities, and we all come together as a very productive team, making sure that we take care of businesses and job seekers. Approximately how many attendees spoke with your recruiters? 14 people said one to two attendees. 30 businesses said they spoke to 21 to 40 people at the event. 19 said 41 to 60, 2, 61 to 80, and 5 said 81 plus. Now that's quite a return on investment for your business to provide one to two resources for the afternoon to be able to speak with that many job seekers in one place. So we're really pleased with that. Please rate how well the career fair met your expectations in identifying good hiring prospects. 35 said it exceeded their expectations, 32 it met their expectations, 3 a little below expectations there. How likely are you to participate in an Orange County job fair in the future? 56 said very likely, 12 likely, and 2 were on the fence, neither likely nor unlikely. What would you like to see improve? 22 said nothing, it was great, fantastic, no improvements. 11 would like more space. Now, understand this was a face-to-face job fair that we'd had inside a finite space. So it was inside a building. Mind you, the last several events that we've had have been outside, right? So we were able to have a little bit more room, a little bit of more space in between our tables for exhibitors. But this, we were in a finite space. So 11 people thought more space would be great. 7 people want us to feed them. That's no surprise. We get that a lot. And then 20 people said other, but they didn't let us know what it was. So for the job seeker survey results, we had 54 job seekers respond, which is great. Overall, were you satisfied or dissatisfied with the event? 39 were very satisfied. 14 satisfied. 1 on the fence was neither satisfied nor unsatisfied. How organized was the event? 44 said very organized, 9 somewhat. It's great. High marks in organization, which we like. How helpful was the event staff? 35 extremely, 15 very helpful, 4 somewhat helpful. How many companies did you speak with? 31 people spoke with 1 to 10 companies. That's fantastic. 17, 11 to 12, 3, 21 to 30, and 3, hustled and spoke with almost all of the companies at the event. What did you like most about the OC Career Fair? 20 said they liked the businesses, lots of businesses there. 8, the job opportunities. 5, liked the organization. 18, other. How likely are you to attend an Orange County Career Fair in the future? 43 said, I'm very likely, I'm coming back. 9 said likely, and 2 on the fence, neither likely nor unlikely. What would you like to see improve? Nothing. 22 said nothing. 12 would like a little bit more space, and 18 said other. And I just wanted to give you some event photos so that you could see kind of the energy and the engagement and just a snapshot. That second photo there, when you get an overview of the room, that was pretty early in the day before it was really packed. So I can see why people would want more space, but we really provided a lot of opportunity for job seekers at this event. Is there any questions regarding this event before I move on?
Rhonda, thank you so much for putting this together. Thank you to the entire team. Love the photos. I do have a question. I'm wondering whether we ask whether the people who are attending are currently employed or they're looking for employment and are currently not employed.
We do not ask that. We did get some feedback at the event. I mean, we like people to come because I think that's, you know, great information to have, because some people might want to be at this time when there's more opportunity out there saying, I'm in a job, but let me just do some more exploration and see if there's something else I can find. We don't technically ask that. We did have a lot of feedback on the floor and conversations. And you might recall last quarter, I'd mentioned that the media was in attendance at this event also. And they had a segment that we showed that we're talking to job seekers who were saying, you know, basically they're still in the driver's seat. So I think that there's a lot of folks who are wanting to see what is out there and you know, what opportunities they might have, even if they are currently employed, but we specifically did not ask that. What I spoke with my team about for the next event surveys, instead of saying other, we're going to ask them to specifically say, what other do you want to see improved, so that we have a little bit more data than just other, right?
There any other questions or comments?
Yeah, yeah. I do. Thank you, Rhonda, for this information. So for this District 2 career fair, I don't remember this coming up into my inbox or receiving any information on this one. Is there, I do recall the next one that you'll be covering, but is there something different about this one?
No, we utilize the same distribution channels that we typically okay. do with this event. So I'm sorry, Terry. Yeah, I mean, you're okay. so key to our organization. Want to make sure you're getting the information, especially when you have, you know, such a critical sector.
Yeah. So what we've been doing with a lot of the workforce development boards across our region is we've been posting the job fair to the public through our social media, as well as encouraging our member hospitals to participate. So any opportunities that we have to help, you know, get the word out, you know, please send it our way because we're happy to do that. I do recall the next fair that you'll be covering, and I do see two of our members, Dignity Health, and there was another hospital that was present there, and I do recall promoting that to our member hospitals. So we're happy to help.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you. All right. We did have a virtual hiring event on June 1st that was geared towards the high school and college student. At the High School and College Student Career Fair. It was in conjunction with the Orange County Regional Consortium. It was through our virtual platform, Premier Virtual. We did have 78 organizations attending, and the organizations included businesses, and they included resource organizations, and they included educational organizations. Should there be an attendee that was trying to determine whether or not they were going to, you know, what path they were going to proceed with, be it a community college or a specific school training, that sort of thing. So we did have a number of different organizations there, totaling 78. And in attendance, we had 26 job seekers. So this is that same historical analysis. So you can see our D2 numbers and then for the face-to-face, and then we've got our 26 attendees and 78 organizations here on this chart now. The variety of organizations by industry is shown here. And specifically for our primary sectors, we had 5 manufacturing, 3 in healthcare, 1 in IT, and 3 in hospitality and travel. And this is the specific list of organizations that attended. So we had businesses, we had Department of Education was there, we had Marriott, Irvine Valley College, so just representing the different organizations that I had mentioned at the beginning, so quite a variety there and resources. And here's the survey. So 16 organizations responded. Overall, how would you rate this career fair? So very good, fair, and 5 thought that it was poor. How organized was the event? Extremely organized, very, somewhat. somewhat organized, and then four people thought it wasn't so organized or not at all organized. How helpful was the staff? Extremely helpful, very helpful, and somewhat helpful. 5, 6, and 5 there. Approximately how many attendees spoke to your staff slash recruiters? So there's the responses there, less than or greater than 5, 12, 5 to 10, 3, and then 10 plus 1. How well did the career fair meet your expectations in identifying good hiring prospects? 8 said they met expectations, 8 were below expectations. How likely are you to participate in an Orange County job fair in the future? 5 organizations said very likely, 6 likely, 4 on the fence, neither likely nor unlikely, and 1 very unlikely. What would you like to see improve? Marketing, 3 people said, attendance. 5 organizations did. 2 wanted a little bit more organized. 2 regarding our virtual platform, would like to see improvement there. And 1 said nothing. We did have 1 job seeker respond to our survey. Overall, how satisfied were you with the event? They were satisfied. How organized? Somewhat organized. How helpful was the event staff? Somewhat helpful. How many companies did you speak with? 3. What did you like the most? They liked the platform, Premier Virtual. They liked the opportunity to go on the platform there. How likely are you to attend a career fair in the future? Very likely. And what would you like to see improve? No suggestions. So a little middle of the road for our 1 participant there. Were there any questions regarding that event?
Yes, I'm trying to wrap my brain around the virtual career fair. and I don't know, I guess I'm looking for some guidance. I'll just share with you a recent experience that I had with Ventura County. We hosted a healthcare specific virtual job fair. We had 4 county hospitals present. And then we had approximately 50 job seekers in attendance. So, I mean, what's the best practice? What should we be aiming for in terms of the ratio of job seekers to, employers? I guess that's where I'm sort of, not clear of. And how effective is this going forward? Should we revert back to in-person? Is that where we, get more of a turnout by having the in-person ones over the virtual? So what are your thoughts there?
So Terry, there are a couple different things in this situation. So this was the first of its kind in terms of a virtual job fair for college students and high school students, right? So what I learned from this is that we probably shouldn't do it at the end of the school year. Because this was around finals week. This was where some of the schools were already out, some of the schools were still in. So it really wasn't planned well enough in conjunction with K-12, as well as the community colleges, because the community colleges leave at a different time than the universities. The K-12 system have different times. So I think in the future, when we host career fairs or job fairs for youth, that we'll have to put a lot more thought and strategy to it, just because when we offered it, I don't think that it was the opportune time. Now, when we talked to K-12 and we talked to the community colleges, they love the idea because there is a lot of uncertainty right now in terms of health, right, and safety. In addition to that, with this generation, they like being able to go online. They don't necessarily want to go in person to a job fair, right? In the past, I can tell you from old job fair reports, I think Rhonda typically passes that out to show you like statistics from before the pandemic and then after the pandemic, it was all over the place. There is no guarantee when it comes to job fairs. Now, what we do know for sure is best times of the year to host them. So we know that best days of the week to host them, best times of the year to host them. But what we don't have enough data on is health concerns, right? So this is a new dynamic that we can't control, and that plays a big role in it. Now, moving forward, when we do another job fair for youth, the other thing is I didn't anticipate so many schools having their own. So there were so many schools having pocketed job fairs around the same time we were trying to have a job fair, even though we reached out to them and said, hey, we'd like to throw a job fair. We want you to be involved with it. There were still organizations or schools that kind of decided to have their own. So there were a lot of factors that played a role in the success and or failure of this job fair, just because it was the first of its kind and it was very unknown. Now, it had the possibility of being something really great or grand if we would have planned it right. But because we had so much competition that it was unforeseeable. In my head, I thought that we were going to reach thousands of kids because, wow, this is online. It's at the end of the school year. You can reach out to employers all across the United States. There are a lot of college students graduating that don't have jobs lined up. This is perfect for that, right? So when we planned it, it sounded great. But what we didn't foresee is all of the small fairs that were happening because schools and just education systems were eager to try to put something together to get people back to normalcy. But the other part of that was, as you know, even right now, health concerns are still a factor. Mm-hmm. Now, what we are learning about the virtual platform is that they're evolving. So it's no longer just job fairs. Now it's like resource events and just kind of all over the place what they can do with these virtual platforms. And so as we evaluate this fair and go back and learn from, you know, what worked and what didn't work, we'll work on having a more strategic approach, but it is honestly hit and miss. I think that what worked for us with that Santa Ana job fair was mm-hmm. that we did it in partnership with the other workforce board. It was probably the right time of the year, the right day, like all the stars were in alignment and it was outside. So that one went really well, but the education one, I think there were just some factors that we didn't foresee. And it's almost a balancing act trying to get in between when is the sweet spot between the schools, the three different school systems, the university school system, college, community college school system, and the K-12. We need to figure out the sweet spot, and we didn't have that data.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that makes sense. You know, my thought was there's got to be some sort of science behind when to host, you know, virtual job fairs, or, you know, maybe we'll just have to learn, you know, as we go.
Yeah.
That's helpful. So we'll you know, continue to work with this, you know, the virtual platform, and, you know, see if we can pull out more people and get them more engaged. So thank you.
Thank you.
Rhonda, I have a question, but Karma, I completely agree. And I think, you know, like the regional nature of the job fair, so the premise of it is strong too, instead of having, again, these employers can pull from anybody, so they have to go like to one specific community college. So again, I think the logic is 100% there, and, you know, with more time, it'll be appreciated. I guess another, on the other side of that though, and I know you have staff limitations, is there a possibility to kind of, maybe it wouldn't be business services, but then plug into a job fair that these high schools or community colleges are doing to just elevate what we're doing? Again, probably maybe for a different committee, but just curious, because if you can't convince them to not do the job fair, is there still a way where it could be advantageous to the workforce board to be present?
So that's a great question. So here's the challenge with that. So we can't be at all of them. So we have to like try to figure out a way that we do coordinated efforts, because if we start it, for example, even when it comes to cities, there are 32 cities that we support. We can't do 32 job fairs. What we try to do is joint efforts. And so this job fair was supposed to be a joint effort. So we reached out to all the community colleges. We reached out through K-12. We also reached out to the universities and said, hey, let's do this together. So that's one thing when we reach out to like that top level. But then those schools, for example, Garden Grove High School, we can't control that Garden Grove High School wanted to have its own outside of the K-12 system. I hope that makes sense. So yes, we always try to do stuff in partnership with others, but no, we can't control it. And no, I can't do 32. We don't have the resources to put together 32 job fairs. If I try to do all the cities, and I don't even know how many high schools there are. I don't know, Rhonda, you know, at the top of your head, I know there's quite a bit of high schools throughout the 32 cities that we oversee. So I get what you're saying, Jesse. And yes, we will always try to do things in partnership with others, but we have to be strategic when we do it. And the best way we found to do that is to try to do it with the district level versus the schools. So that way, hopefully we get more schools to buy in. But again, I think that this was one of those situations where the schools kind of wanted to bring a sense of normalcy back. So those individual schools had the opportunity and went off and did their own. But I don't even know that they got the turnout that they wanted. So like, we haven't even gone back to them and say, well, how successful was your job fair? Given that there were still like health concerns at the same time, like around the same time, because I believe they had theirs, some of theirs face-to-face, they didn't do theirs virtual. And so I wonder how well those went with it being face-to-face. I'm not sure yet.
Yeah, 100%. I think this, I mean, if you want to say this outcome is disappointing, I still think there should be another attempt at this thing. So I completely 100% Carmen. It's like the regional nature to where you can't scatter your team everywhere at once. And again, I think it's going to be appreciated because it might be less ask of employers to do these things. So they don't want to be everywhere at once. So I think the premise of this, despite this these results, you should kind of stick to. So much appreciated.
Thank you.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions about the job fairs? Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to business solution surveys. Is that you, Rhonda?
Thank you. So Business Solutions, we sent the customer satisfaction survey to 80 employers during the quarter between April and June 2022. 13 employers responded to the survey. This is the total Business Solutions services that we provided. And then the next slide, of those 13 employers, what resource did Business Solutions assist you with? So it was the job fairs, posting jobs, layoff aversion, the rapid response and layoff aversion assistance, hiring events, and other. How would you rate the resource assistance provided to you by Business Solutions? 5 stars, 10 said 5 stars, 1 said 4 stars, and 1 said 2 stars. How would you rate the customer services provided to you? 11 said 5 stars and 2 said 4 stars. How likely are you to use Business Solutions again? 11 said 5 stars, 1 said 4 stars, and 1 said 3 stars. Please provide any additional feedback to better explain your answers. So we received appreciate the quick response and effort to assist us. Elizabeth and Rhonda are awesome. All of my interactions were great. The group was on time and presented great information. I don't feel the EDD person was very helpful, and the local one could have adapted his thinking points better to our situation. So those comments were in reference to our rapid response services. Excellent customer service, highly recommend to others. Rhonda is simply amazing. Her engagement and commitment to the community is awesome. Our goal is to find great jobs for great people, and I truly feel we can make that happen. Love it. Please provide any additional feedback to better explain your answers. They assisted with several items, which I was not able to input on the survey. They included the job postings, job description prep, and the use of the facility. So someone came to use our Workforce Solutions Center in Garden Grove. I've not received one resume from the program. This was a little hard for me to try to decipher. I'm not sure what program they're talking about. Could be CalJobs, which is our California Employer and Job Seeker database. I do get that a lot from businesses from time to time. They're saying, oh, I posted on CalJobs and I haven't seen any responses. And I encourage them to actually go on to CalJobs themselves or set up a virtual recruiter so that resumes tend to come into their inbox as a result of that. Thank you, Elizabeth Hoy, for all your help and guidance. Thank you, Elizabeth Hoy. She is our Business Solutions Coordinator here, one of them. Fast turnaround, very professional, great team and support. Thank you. Like these. Was there any questions regarding those surveys?
No? Rhonda, this is Kathy Boyd. I don't have a question necessarily only about the surveys, but I'm on the OCWorkforceSolutions.com, the new website. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering, is there a place I'm supposed to be looking for the next upcoming job fairs? Is it organized under something? I'm looking under events and I'm not seeing it, or is that something you guys are still working on?
We're working on one for October.
Okay, perfect. That's a great site for us to see them. And then if I have that, however much advance notice we can get, the more advance notice I can get out to schools much easier. So anyway, thank you for the website. It's great. But I just wanted to see if you put them somewhere on the website, let me know so that I can kind of get those out to people as soon as possible.
Thank you, Kathy. Well, we have you in our distribution list too. So I want to make sure you're getting the information that we're sending out as well. So thank you.
Okay, thanks.
Rhonda, so Kathy, just one more thing. So she is, so the big job fair, she's hosting in October, but I want to bring something to your attention. If you go to the OC Workforce Solutions website and you click on events, if you scroll down towards the bottom, I just want to highlight this because Rhonda and her team are doing an amazing job of hosting hiring events. So they've got a lot of them on there. So right now, these are like, this is where, if you go down to the towards the middle of the page, it says community recruitment and hiring events. So these are our small job fairs. And so you'll see that she's got one just about like August the 3rd, August the 5th. So they're all posted there. And then when there's a job fair, it'll be posted there as well.
Perfect.
But there are events on there that can be shared, especially direct hire events. Those are really, really great.
Yeah. Thank you. I did notice it earlier and I couldn't find it again. Thank you for reminding me where it was. That's great. Thank you.
Thank you, Karma. So for our hiring initiatives, this is specific to the hiring events that Karma is talking about. So we have our big job fairs in conjunction with the districts and other partners. And then these are the hiring events that we have both in person and face-to-face. We even have them at our mobile unit. So for the quarter, we had a total of, I can't see it with Desiree's. I think it's 17 hiring events total with 94 attendees. So these are the participants, the businesses and the platforms that we have here. So you can see they're at Premier Virtual, the Workforce Solutions Center, and at that mobile unit. And I just wanted to give you a snapshot of the companies that are participating at the hiring events. So we've got employers that are hiring over 50 positions. The Registrar of Voters for the election, they had over 800 openings. So we had a hiring event for them. Applied Medical, Advanced Manufacturing Organization, 100 openings, 100 plus. Albertsons, 100 plus for all of their stores all over Orange County. Then we had Gelson's, over 100 openings. Ross Dress for Less opened a new store in Tustin. So they had over 50 openings. And then Great Wolf Lodge, great partner of ours, over 50 openings. And as Karma mentioned, it's on the website. So from this quarter, from this last quarter to this quarter, we were having so many organizations wanting hiring events. We wanted to make sure that job seekers were able to come and see multiple industries at one time, as well as provide an opportunity for higher participant numbers for companies that were participating in a hiring event. So we, starting in July, started our first multi-industry hiring event. So we are asking 5 to 10 diverse employers who want hiring events to participate. And we had our first in July and we're planning 1 to 2 events per month. That said, we're also providing hiring events for individual organizations like Disneyland, Caltrans, Parker Aerospace, and Glidewell. Now, I can tell you that the Caltrans, at the time that this was created, Caltrans actually had their hiring event a week and a half ago, and it was tremendous. So they did not require initial registration. They just invited everybody who wanted to come, open invitation, and we received 137 participants. 137 job seekers showed up at that. That's the highest we've had in an individual hiring event so far. Caltrans brought in recruiters from Sacramento for the event. Our team was on staff at, on site. And then we also had, you know, a great opportunity to reach a number of people through Caltrans doing their own marketing. We found that the hiring events that have the highest number of folks come is also participation in marketing from our company. So Glidewell also tends to have very high participation numbers, and they do a significant amount of marketing on their site. So this is a great clue for us to make sure when companies are saying we'd like more marketing, to really talk with them as well as to, hey, what are you doing for your marketing so that we can get the most number of folks to participate. So stay tuned. We're gonna have some more good numbers like Caltrans. As far as our work experience, we have our ongoing work experiences with 6 cohorts in 2022 for 211 OC. April, we had 3 participants. In June, we had 2 participants, and that is for the information and referral specialist position. We have a current active work experience with the Greater Irvine Chamber of Commerce for a communications assistant that is filled and active at the moment. And then we have a work experience for a counter crew member at an Huntington Beach organization, brand new startup brick and mortar called The Rhea Pizzeria. And this is kind of a fun work experience. It's very, you know, it's culinary related. They have an opportunity to learn food handling and making sure, you know, food safety issues are properly adhered to. So, you know, your food is stored appropriately and not to prepare too much of it. So we are super happy about that. And we are hoping that we can find a participant that's, you know, really excited. Food set tends to be a big deal these days with all of these, you know, shows and chef shows and these cooking competitions. So we're hoping to get that filled here shortly. And then just an overview of our active OJTs, on the job trainings. So ongoing for 960 hours is that creating coding careers for a software developer. And then our kitchen manager position with Pasania was filled at $25 an hour, and that's 800 training hours. So we're very happy that these are in motion. We're currently recruiting for these positions. Clean Energy still has a Service Tech 1 and Service Tech 2 position open. I actually did a phone screen for Service Tech 1 last week and submitted it to the client, and they're gonna actually reach out to this participant and have a phone conversation. So I'm excited, and hopefully that will be a good fit. So we're still ongoing with recruiting for Clean Energy. McLean has 10 open positions for a warehouse specialist, $21 an hour. So that is still active. We're recruiting for that. And then Pasania still has these several positions open: production supervisor, sanitation supervisor, and Q&A document specialist. So we're actively recruiting for those as well. And then we're talking with folks about OJTs too. So ECOS, which is the clean, the organic and clean cleaning products company manufacturer, they are looking for a batch maker. So someone to help with the mixing of all the production batches. Then we have Great Wolf Lodge. We're talking with them regarding maintenance positions, as well as Applied Medical for device assembly, a maintenance position as well. So we're talking with those folks about potential OJTs. That's fine, Desiree, we're good. Apprenticeship. So we're having apprenticeship conversations with businesses, and we do have that partnership with the California Department of Apprenticeship Standards. So that's DAS there. Creating coding careers on the job training slash is an apprenticeship. So that is active. Those that we've connected, we've got three businesses connected with DOS, and we're in discussion for Applied Medical and Radco. And we actually have, didn't make it to this slide because it was after this was submitted, but we are actually working in conjunction with the Orange County Department of Education on potential apprenticeship as well. Thank you, Kathy Boyd. Just here's a snapshot of some of the outreach, okay? And this is primarily, you know, the face-to-face meetings, an opportunity for me to speak out in the community, which I take. I would love to speak, invite me. I'm always happy to go. So we did a presentation to 14 Garden Grove hotels in conjunction with the city of Garden Grove on April 1st. And that was really great. Very, very engaged. They really wanted to know. I mean, they're a service industry. And they're also, you know, an outside kind of segment for us to really be targeting as far as sectors. We received an introduction to the California Association of Health Facilities. That was fantastic. I participated on as a speaker for the Huntington Beach Chamber of Commerce for the state of the county. So I was really happy to participate on that. We had a table at the Lake Forest Business Expo in May. And we also had a table at the Asian Business Association of Orange County Small Business Development Day. So that was really great. We had an opportunity to really provide a lot of information specific to our micro business grant. That was very hot that day. And then for the SBDC, great partner of our Small Business Development Center, I participated in our brick and mortar webinar. So they have cohorts that are going through this program who are actually having brick and mortar facilities. And so it was great to be able to present our resources there. And just to give you an idea, some of the outcomes as a result of these, you know, of our outreach. So that presentation to those 14 Garden Grove hotel representatives, I ended up having a face-to-face meeting with Great Wolf Lodge afterwards. They participated in a job fair of ours, as well as hiring events, both on mobile and in person. And we're talking with them about an OJT. So boy, is that great. I get to talk to 14 hotels, and as a result, one of them wants to participate in all these things with us. I love this. The introduction to the California Association of Health Facilities, KPC Health, has participated in our multi-industry hiring event. And we're also talking about OJTs with KPC Health. Just had that conversation very recently. For the Lake Forest Expo, Talent Foreign Exchange was one of the small businesses that were there, and we had a WEX discussion with them. And then the ABAOC, Small Business Development Day, they wanted me back as a result of the table. So I was able to participate in their July business networking breakfast, which was great. 35 people were there, and that was a lot of fun. That was one of my more fun presentations. And then on June 8th, that brick and mortar webinar that I participated on, we got the WEX, the Rio Pizzeria WEX as a result of that. So I just wanted to make sure I close the loop with you as far as outcomes from the outreach that we're doing in the community. Are there any questions on that? Okay. All right, so assistance with filling jobs. Again, this is the total business solution services that were provided. So I know it's a bit of an eye chart. You can see it across the board what we're helping with: job postings, the rapid response, the client needs analysis. I like to see that number high. That means my team is asking questions and making sure we're gaining information so that we can customize our services appropriately to what businesses need. Just wanted to show you, here we are, Business Solutions out and about. So here's the hiring events that we've had, some happy employers there. We can see down at the bottom there, Great Wolf Lodge had a hiring event at our mobile unit, which is super fun. And then there we are at the Lake Forest Business Expo, the 800 plus needed folks for the Registrar Voting hiring event, and at the ABAOC Business Development Day on the bottom there. And that's it for me. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rhonda. Y'all are not busy at all. Are there any questions or comments? Thank you for representing us so well throughout the region.
My pleasure. I love it. Thank you for having us.
Awesome. Okay, so where are we now on the agenda, Carmen? Are we at item 6 or are we at CalJob Survey quarter 4 report?
Well, Rhonda kind of combined everything together. So we're under item 6, but we're at C.
Oh, wow. Okay, further down along. Okay, so yeah. We're actually at Business and Economic Recovery Call Center item.
We are. I'm going to promote Nancy up. Ask to promote Nancy up so she can give us an update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center.
All right. Good morning. Desiree already promoted me, so that was awesome. Thank you so much, Desiree. So good morning. I do have a quick update on the Business and Economic Recovery Call Center. So to date, the call center has had about 25,310 calls, and that's since we started. Between April 1st and June 30th, the call center had a total of 1,921 calls. And just to break that number down a little bit further, we had 1,659 business calls, 226 job seeker calls, and 36 community calls. A majority of our business calls are micro business grant related, so we continue to provide lots of support to businesses who are interested in submitting applications or who have already been awarded. So that's really exciting. Another really exciting thing is our team is actually growing. So as of July 1st, we have a new call center representative, Ariel Flores, who joined our team. So that's all of the updates that I do have for the call center. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay. Thank you so much. Hearing none, let's go ahead and move on to item 6D, rapid response and WARN notice.
Hi, good morning, everyone. My name is Lynn Hernandez, and I am the Business Solutions Coordinator, so I'll be providing the quarter 4 update for WARN and Rapid Response. During April, May, and June, we received a total of 8 WARN notices. I'm sorry, I'm hearing an echo. Is anyone else hearing an echo?
Annalisa, can you hit mute until she's finished? Okay, there we go.
Okay,
sorry about that. Thank you. So between April, May, and June, we received a total of 8 WARN notices. The industries for these notices were a variety across the board. 2 of them included pharmaceutical manufacturing companies. And then throughout the quarter, there were approximately 759 employees affected by these layoffs. Approximately 38% of those layoffs were as a result of facility closures. And then 28% were a result of loss of contract within employers. And then the remainder were due to workplace reductions, which resulted in permanent layoffs. During quarter four, we provided individual rapid response presentations to a total of three companies. Two of those presentations that we did were in person, and one of the presentations was virtual. And between these three presentations, we had approximately 50% attendance. So about half of the employees that were affected by the layoffs from these companies actually attended our rapid response presentation to get connected to different resources and benefits that are available to them after their separations. And our partners during these presentations continue to be EDD Unemployment Insurance, EDD Workforce Services Branch, Apex Financial Services Group, and then, of course, our department, the Orange County Workforce and Economic Development Division. And then also during this quarter, we continued to offer our rapid response webinars, which are open to the public every other Wednesday, and we host them via Zoom. The webinar information is posted on Eventbrite, and I also will provide this information with employers once I reach out to them after the WARN notice is received, either if they're not interested in individualized services that we offer, or maybe if they're not responsive, I'll still provide it so that way they do receive the information as well so they could share with their affected employees. We unfortunately did not have any individuals join our Wednesday sessions during the quarter. And that ends my update. Does anyone have any questions?
Okay, hearing none, thank you so much for that report. Let's move thank on you. To IEP. Regional Initiatives and Comprehensive Economic Development Strategy, or SEDS overview.
Can we please promote up Annette Kelly Whittle?
Good morning, everyone. So on August the 21st, the three Workforce Development Boards, Santa Ana, Anaheim, Orange County did meet. David Schinder facilitated the meeting, which was a strategic planning meeting for our regional work. So we have a few people that are on today that were in attendance. Annalisa and Kathy were in attendance. And so during that time, we basically went through our regional indicators. So the state requires that we select one of four regional indicators that we are going to focus on throughout the our planning period, basically. And the board selected indicator A, which region has a process to communicate industry workforce needs to supply site partners. And so this indicator really has a lot to do with working with our businesses, and that could be through sector work or other types of engagement with our businesses, but it is taking that information and making sure that we are communicating back to our ecosystem partners on our education side and really working with them to come up with strategies to advance what it is that they are basically saying are their needs for the region. So there's two outcomes that the state have identified, which is outcome one is region has developed a benchmark and measurements to track improvement in the number of individuals placed in jobs that align with the sectors and occupations emphasized in the regional plan, which in our regional plan happens to be manufacturing, healthcare, information technology, and hospitality and tourism. And then outcome two is region has developed benchmarks and methods to track workforce partner professional development training on priority sectors and industry workforce needs. So that's about, you know, making sure that we are educating our partners a big part of what we do as a part of our OC Leadership Council meetings, which happen every other month. So David, you know, really emphasized that the board's role in kind of making sure that we reach our goals in these regional indicators. We'll still have to kind of put together some tracking mechanisms. But one of the things, you know, he kind of asked our group is, you know, who is responsible for making sure this happens? And whether it was staff, whether it was the board. And so he emphasized that it is the board's responsibility to move kind of this indicator forward. And given that, you know, the board has selected indicator, or the three boards, I should say, have selected indicator A for our region to focus on, I am really going to be tapping into you guys to get some help in our industry convenings and making sure that we have strong processes. And being able to convene those businesses, get that voice and get that back out into the community. Currently, I've been working with, you know, the Hospital Association. Terry has been very helpful in that healthcare sector. We have a lot of work to do, though. This should be kind of a regional partnership that is with our educational partners, because they are kind of tasked with the same thing of reaching out to our industry sector partners. And then as well as our community colleges. So we are really trying to be in alignment. We've had many, many conversations over the past couple of years and still struggling to really bring everyone together around this and to move this body of work forward. It does take more than just Annette. So I'm just going to stress that I really need the board's support in this, and I really need the board's help in this. So I will definitely continue to work with those who have been helpful in participating. I will be reaching out to other board members to kind of maybe have some one-on-one conversations to see, you know, what role you could play in helping in this. So I think my first one on my list is going to be you, Annalisa. So look forward to kind of having some conversation around this with you. And then we can go to the next slide. So possible process measures that we can maybe look at to kind of start measuring and to identify whether or not we're reaching this goal would be percentage of individuals served who will attain employment related to training, distribution of job placement that align to top sectors and occupations emphasized in the regional plan, identification of top sectors and occupations that provide quality jobs, percentage of frontline staff participating in training that address the needs and target sectors and jobs, and percentage of professional development participants, including WIO required partners, who report training supported their understanding of employer need and priority sectors and jobs. I will say this around these regional indicators, the biggest challenge from a statewide perspective is the tracking. The systems that we have as far as even being able to get data out of CalJobs and how things are tracked in CalJobs is not easy to disaggregate information. The system doesn't track all of the information. So this is going to require us to really try to figure out how we are going to track. A lot of the local workforce development areas throughout the state of California have really pushed back on the state in the sense that the tools have not necessarily been provided to the local area, and it does take a lot for each local area to try to figure out how they're going to manage this data and track this data outside of CalJobs that may be required to track, as well as using like DataMark with our community college partners and various other data sources to bring it together to be able to come up with ways to measure this information. So and we can go to the next slide. So other regional issues. So we have a workforce development board training that we have slated to happen, and it's going to be on October the 6th. It's going to be a 2-hour Zoom training for any board members that are interested, and that would be for all three boards. We will send out a calendar invite for you for that. And then also the Orange Regional Planning Unit, the regional board meeting. So the one, like I said, we just had was August 21st. We plan on having two of these a year. The next one we are going to have is going to be on January the 25th. And that's going to be 9 to 12. And again, we'll get a calendar invite for you for this. And at that time, we will go over the regional local plan presentation to the three workforce development boards, because we will be kicking off regional and local planning process. There is a biannual update that's required, and that's going to be due next year, March 31st of 2023. But in order to get through that whole process, we need to kick that off starting in September. Plan needs to be done by that January 25th meeting, that we want to bring that before all three boards at that time. It will require it going to Board of Supervisors, councils, etc., public comment of 30 days. So that process is going to kick off September the 1st. So between October 1st and December 15th will be the community and stakeholder engagement part of it, to where there will be approximately four community and stakeholder meetings that will be in person and online. So it'll be mixed this time. The last time we were completely online. So once we have specific dates for that, we'll get that out to the board members also. So if you would like to participate in those meetings and provide any input to the local or regional plans, we can do that. Industry sector launches. So we did launch our industry set relaunch, I should say, our industry sector meetings in June here. And we did the healthcare and manufacturing, and we did council information technology, and we are going to continue to focus on healthcare and manufacturing, try to see if we can strengthen those into strong regional sector convenings with all of our supply side partners. And that's going to be our focus. If we can get those strong, get some good wins out of those, get some projects going, and then at that point in time, we can start looking at our additional industry sectors that we want to focus on. We are going to start working on the regional website and collateral for the region. So that's going to be also done by Copy and Design, which worked on the Workforce Solutions website and all of the other collaterals. So hopefully within the next 6 months here, we will have a website up and some collateral to be able to promote the actual Orange Regional Planning Unit. Regional grants. So we are still waiting on word for the Good Jobs grant that was submitted back in March, and they pushed the date of announcement back into September. So hopefully in September, we'll find out about that. The Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership grant, we just got notification yesterday that we got a $1.3 million award. This grant is the regional grant that really funds the regional organizer position, such as myself. So there's 15 regional organizers throughout the state of California. Previously, it was the Regional Planning Implementation Grant. They did change it this year. It's a three-year term. And this one was done in partnership with the community colleges. So the 1.3 is more for the system overall. And then there's an additional funding that's going to come from the Chancellor's Office for projects that were submitted by the community colleges under this grant. And the Chancellor's Office has not announced that part of the funding for the community colleges yet. So we're still waiting on that. And then there's the California Equity and Recovery Grant, CERF grant. So many of you were a part of that. That was submitted on July 25th, 2022. So our OC Rise website is up that has additional information in regards to that grant. And then Prison to Employment grant we've had in the past and have worked that as a region. And so that was just submitted yesterday. And Santa Ana Workforce Development Board is taking the lead on that particular regional grant. That is all I have. If you have any questions.
Questions or comments?
I just want to make a comment to remind everybody that
the region is required of the board certification, meaning that in order for this board to maintain its designation and certification as a workforce development board, one of the requirements is regional work, which means that the members of this board are required to participate in regional activities and to provide regional oversight in partnership with the Santa Ana and Anaheim Workforce Boards. I know that over the last couple of years, we've been trying to pull together the three workforce boards. And so we finally got to a place where we've got you guys all meeting together, but we had low attendance. And that's a concern because, like I said, when we get ready to recertify, I have to be able to write that, yes, the three workforce boards work together, that yes, they all three met and decided how we'll move together as a region. And unfortunately, I think our board was the only one that had the most members, but we still didn't have all the members and your input is required. So we, the team or the staff, really shouldn't be making regional decisions. It really should be the three workforce boards, and meaning that you guys, the members of the boards, are supposed to make decisions for the region. We are here to support and execute whatever you've asked us to do. So we will do a better job of putting out advance notice of meetings so that you guys can work on your schedule, but we really do need your attendance when you can. So if you can come, please come, because I do have to redesignate us, I believe next year. And that's going to be a part of that question is, are you guys providing regional support and guidance in addition to how well we perform as a workforce system in terms of fiscal and program oversight, and just like, are we meeting as a board? So there are like three criteria that I have to answer to when we try to certify the Orange County Workforce Development Board. And I just want to make sure that I can do that honestly and submit it back with confidence that we are doing what we're supposed to do as a workforce development board.
Yeah, I understood. I think you said it already, Karma. Our schedules, you know, fill up really fast. So if we can get advance notice of these meetings, then I'm happy to participate. But I'm running into some scheduling issues right now. So
yeah. I'm asking that to put together an annual calendar of all the meetings that we know of. And so for the three workforce boards, I think that we should meet July and January, just have a standing meeting July and January so you guys know it's coming. But then for the regional trainings, I get that you guys won't maybe not come to some of those, and those are fine. It's when the three boards need to meet that I really need you at the table. So Annette will have that calendar. We'll be sending out to the workforce board. When will you have that ready, Annette, to send out?
I can have it done by the end of this week. I'm just waiting on a couple more dates from David.
Okay, so let's try to get that by the end of this week so they have that. And also, can we send Outlook invitations for all the meetings that we know of to all the board members so they can have that already on their calendar? Because I know that that works a lot easier when we send you an Outlook invitation instead of a paper calendar.
Yes.
Okay.
And then another question regarding the Good Jobs grant. Do we have an exact date in September in which they will be making the announcement of the awards?
No exact date. They just said they would announce in September.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, are there any other comments or questions? Thank you so much for that report. I know you went a little bit into some updates on grants, Annette, but we do have an item on the agenda for grant updates.
So the first page, I think we went through this. There's no real updates to this page. So this is just the grants that we applied for and were awarded. So the top one on this list is the California Micro Business Grant, which we are still passing out money. So if you know of any mom and pop or small business Uber drivers, Lyft drivers, any of them that are minorities and that had a gross revenues under $50,000 in 2019, please forward them the flyer. I'll send it out to the board again. We're getting close, but not quite 100% spent out. And we'd like to try to make sure we get the $3 million out to all of those mom and pop businesses that could benefit from having this extra money to help them. So I'll resend out that flyer to you guys today. So that's the top one. So I want to go to the last page.
This just kind of highlights the pending grant application. So the, wait a minute, there we go. The first or the top of it is of course the good jobs that Annette just mentioned to you. The summer employment training steps grant, we just received notice that we're going to receive that one. That's for $264,500. That is a grant where we're working with youth with disabilities in partnership with Goodwill of Orange County. So as soon as we get that application signed, we'll enter into a new agreement with Goodwill to serve youth with disabilities and help them find jobs. The next grant on there is the Regional Equity and Recovery Partnership Grant that Annette just mentioned that we received. Did we receive notice yesterday on that one, Annette? We just received notice yesterday. I was trying to make sure I got my days right, that we did receive that note. We received notice that we did get that grant. That's going to help us with our regional work. So we received $1.3 million for that grant. And so in the next upcoming board meeting, Annette will give a report out on how well we are doing on that grant and the activities that are tied to it, because that is a part of our regional regional grant requirements. So it meets the needs of the region. And then the last grant on this list is, oh, before I move on, is there any questions or concerns about the two I just mentioned? I'm sorry, I'm rolling along. All right, the next grant is a SERF grant. So for those of you who have not had opportunity to talk to me about it, there was an opportunity made by the governor's office for a grant that is divided up through California. So the grant opportunity will provide up to $600 million worth of funding to various regions throughout the state. Orange County is its own region. We're not sharing the region with anyone else. And so the intent of this grant was, it's Community Economic Resilience Fund. The intent of this grant is to do some economic development, but it's also work that aligns with our region work. So when we talk about job creation as a region, we talk about helping disinvested communities. That's a part of what we do under the region work between the three workforce boards. In addition to that region work, it also has the carbon neutral zero, net zero economy as a part of this grant opportunity, where we're really addressing how do we encourage employers to take on carbon neutral practices or net zero practices, as well as informing the community of the benefits of it. So creating jobs in that industry, the green industry, but then also educating, informing the communities that are typically impacted by not having access to information and resources. So it's one of those grant opportunities that combine like three things in one, so to speak. So it's job creation, supporting disinvested communities, and essentially addressing carbon neutral or net zero economy. We partnered with Rancho Santiago Community College as a fiscal agent on this grant opportunity. So they are essentially the lead. We partnered with them to go after it as the regional convener. The grant opportunity it's two parts. So the first step is up to $5 million over a 18 to 24 month period. During that 18 to 24 month period, there will be subsequent grants that go out that lead up to $500 million that are available to the various regions throughout California to apply for. It's a very complicated grant, but essentially what we were charged with doing is setting up a community-led initiative where the community essentially basically meets and decides like how to move forward, how do we address these topics or these issues as a community, not the county, not the Workforce Development Board, and not the community college system, but everyone in the community gets together to brainstorm, I'll say that, to figure out how to resolve some of the challenges that we have with engaging with disinvested communities, with addressing kind of the barriers to employment, but then also addressing the employment opportunities made by employers and practices by the employers. So it's multi-layered grant opportunity. What we decided to do is call it OC Rise. So there's a website designed or dedicated to it. So it's www.ocrise.com. I'm trying to figure out how to like sum this up and not go into detail because it's really long. So I'm trying to figure out what do you need to know. We partner with various organizations through the county in various sectors, from the education sector, business sector, various governments. So we really focused on those disinvested communities throughout Orange County. There are 11 of them. We also partnered with the Native American Council, as well as several other organizations to form this HRTC or High Road Collaborative that will really tackle some of these challenges. The grant application was due on July 25th. We will not know if we received it until probably early September, maybe early to mid-September. And then the anticipation, we anticipate that the grant award will be made available early October. I'm trying to kind of keep it as simple as I can because it's super complex. Are there questions? Because I know that I threw a whole lot at you and I know that a lot of you hadn't heard about it. So I just want to make sure that I answer any questions you have about it, use this time to do that versus trying to throw a lot of data at you. If there's no questions, either I threw too much data at you or you already knew about it. I'm not sure. But if you do have questions about it, please don't hesitate to give me a call. I'd be happy to talk about it with you or talk and share with you. But there is information on the website. The HRTC members will be updated this week to include all the HRTC members that have signed up. We are still accepting agreements from the community to join the HRTC. Okay, there are no questions. So I'll move on to the next item.
Great, thank you.
And so the final item is the EDD compliance report. So like I mentioned last board meeting, I plan to give you guys an update on where we stand with the various compliance challenges that we've had and where we are in terms of providing oversight to our service providers. So as you can see, there's no updates to the EDD open audits from 2016, still ongoing. So that top part hasn't changed since our last board meeting. All of those items are still ongoing. In the green section, these are resolved and completed. So I'm happy to share that we've had some audits that have happened since our last meeting and all of the new ones have been resolved and completed. But prior to our last meeting, I shared with you some of these that are on here that were already resolved. So there are two more that were resolved and completed since our last board meeting. I'm happy to say that we are in compliance in terms of these monitoring, that we have no observations or question calls. So that's really exciting, but I contribute that to our policies and some of our practices that we've kind of cleaned things up to ensure that we have addressed any of the compliance issues that we've had in the past. The next section, blue, represents the fiscal and compliance monitoring that the county's team goes out and monitors our service providers. So there are the 2021 and the 21-22 that are ongoing right now. Because of the pandemic, they weren't able to go out and actually audit the service providers. And so now they're going out to make up for that time that they weren't able to go out. So they're reviewing the fiscal and program activities for our service providers. And so we're looking to hopefully have those resolved sometime soon. Are there any questions about our program of fiscal monitoring? Well, that's it for my updates in terms of the EDD compliance and monitoring.
Thank you so much, Karma, and thank you to the rest of the team for your reports this morning. We really appreciate the hard work and all the
Annalisa, we've lost you. Annalisa, you're frozen. You were frozen.
Can you hear me now? Yeah. Let me see. Do I have you on my phone here? Can you hear me okay? Can you hear me? Okay. Yeah. So item seven.
We can't hear you again.
All right, can you hear me now?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so are there any open discussion items that we want to cover under item 7 at this time? This is just a forum or space for members of the Business Services Committee to bring up any topics, ideas that they might have regarding anything that was agendized or anything that's not on the agenda.
This is Kathy Boyd. I just wanted to say thank you again to Rhonda and team with the DOS meeting we had and the apprenticeship work that I think we're going to embark on in Orange County. We're starting with working with a specific group of veterans, but I think it's going to grow into youth and some other areas too. So thank you very much for your help with that.
Wonderful. And just want to echo what was said earlier, which was a reminder from David when we met, I think it was in October, that the responsibility for putting together the strategy really lies among us, the members of the board. So I know there was a call for support earlier on, and it's something that you definitely want to make sure that we're doing on behalf of this body so that our team and our staff is able to put together those reports in a meaningful way. So hearing no other comments or feedback, I want to thank every one of you for being with us today. I know tomorrow there's a special meeting just for making sure that we're able to continue to meet virtually. So keep an eye out for that. Have a great rest of your summer, and we will see you in November. Take care.
Great. Karma, can we meet now? Okay. All right.